religion that we have to remember when we're talking about that makes it such a hot topic issue is because we're talking about law. Who gets to be God? Who gets to be God's deputies? Who is the Most High? Who is the divine authority? It's all about the claim to the Most High. The only way that somebody can be higher than us is if we give away our power. Because there's nobody. We're all equal. But we're not equal in our knowledge. So ultimately, I think it does have to be a hierarchy, but it has to be a cooperative hierarchy, like a bee colony. It's about what our value system is, what we care about.
Hello, Universal Hive Mind. Today is April 23rd, 2024. I'm your host, Nate Kapp, and welcome to the 67th Cubbyhole Podcast, where critical topics are unveiled, discussed, and tested. The website for today's show is cubbyhole.com. That's CubbyHole.com. And if you prefer to listen to the show on a different platform, you can also listen with Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, TuneIn Radio, Pandora, Simplecast, YouTube, Odyssey, Minds, BitChute, and much more. If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome to the Cubbyhole. I'm glad more people are starting to arrive at this type of information, but I definitely recommend going back to show number one, start there, work your way forward in order, go at your own pace, and that way you will be more equipped with having an understanding of the overarching message that is stored within this whole Cubbyhole podcast, okay? It's really important that you do so. There are going to be slides for today's show, okay? And I think anybody who's been listening consistently and in order knows that every show, just about every show, is going to have slides, okay? And knows how important the slides actually are. So definitely go to cubbyhole.com, go to podcast 51 plus, which I'm actually going to make 51-100 eventually. I'm just saying that for the future. But click on that, go all the way down to where it says show 67, okay? And there you will find the slides for today's show. That being said, I do hope that everybody's doing well. And, you know, I know it's really, really getting crazy out there. And, you know, this time of the year especially is pretty wild. And of course, if you're learning the seasons, if you're learning things like the season of sacrifice being the spring season, you can really start to understand this, the reason why the dark people, the dark ones, the dark psychologists of this world, you can understand why they choose this time of the year, okay? Because this is the time of the year where, spring. So we just entered the spring equinox, right? So this is when the sun has symbolically birthed from the southern hemisphere, or the southern hemispherical womb, if you will. And so that is, you know, spiritually, it's about the birth of the hero. Okay, so if we know how to align ourselves to that, we can rise and we won't let anything stop us. But these people who run the world, they know that very well, and they are always trying to make sure to put some kind of fear that stalls that hero in all of us. Okay, they don't want an uprising, because this is where the uprising takes place, is in the spring. Okay, no surprise. It's because it's about the alignment to the sun. Okay, so this is a spiritual solar alignment. So as we go through this science, we're actually going to understand what this, you know, really means at a very deep level. Okay, so today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue to really open up this ritual of Osiris, something I've been talking about quite a bit. And, you know, this is all about, it's all in alignment to the zodiac. Okay. And especially the greater mysteries being the 12, being the science of the solar mythos, the solar cult. Okay. So it's going to be a really important show. It's very important that you pay very close attention, take a lot of notes. And I really believe that this show in particular, and the next show and the show following that one, are going to be worth rewatching multiple times, studying very, very deeply, because it is all about understanding our spiritual journey symbolically and how we can align to nature. And by aligning to nature, I mean aligning to the sun, aligning to the moon, aligning to the earth, aligning to the stars, because it's the more that we're aligned, the more oriented we are. Okay, so we have to reorient our mind. And by reorienting the mind, I'm talking about making sure that you are conscious, that we are conscious of this science that I'm going to be helping people understand today, okay, that I'm going to be sharing. Now, before I get into the content, there are a few things that I'd like to cover real quick. And one of those things is I actually just went through a move, and it really wiped me out, as anybody who has ever gone through a move would know. It is something that really took all my energy and my time, and that's why I have not been able to do much work this year with the cubbyhole or outcasting. And so it has been a great move. I'm glad that me and my girlfriend were able to do it, because the place that we were living, I always felt a little, I just didn't feel well there. And now I feel so much better. We're actually in a house now, and I'm really, really excited. You know, I actually have a yard now, so I'm really, really thankful for this. And it is a lot more responsibilities, and that's great. You know, that's what I want. And so I'm really stoked that I got my studio all set up now, and I'm ready to make a lot of content this year. So, you know, I'm just trying to get settled in. It's going to take a while, but I'm just glad to be back on the airways. I'm glad to be recording this information, because it is very, very heady. It's very heavy. You know, there's so much that I want to put out. And it is really going to take a lot of time to really extrapolate and you know, lay it all out in the best way possible. Okay, so now I just wanted to go over a couple other things that would be the last couple of shows. And on the last show, show number 66, I had Logan Hart from the Wizard Factory join, and I had him bring on some slides from his presentation, Breaking Beyond the Box, that he gave at the Seed 5 Metamorphosis Conference that took place last year, 2023. And we essentially broke down many of those slides together. I just added in some of my own takes. And it was a really great, important show, one that really, I thought, fit well within the tapestry of this podcast. And we covered dogma, we covered mind control, groupthink, stagnation, blind faith, dealing with religion. We covered box and cube and coffin and tomb and square symbolism, which I've really been talking a lot about on the last five shows or so. And also, we got into mental programming, the Masonic tracing boards, the square and compasses, the checkerboard floor, occult mockery, Hiram Abiff, Saturn symbolism, which is so, so important to understanding the root of really all this, and also animism, which is something that Logan, you know, he made the statement that animism is one of the most occulted types of information out there, which I would have to agree. I think it's something that a lot of people are not conscious of, and you don't hear it anywhere. You don't hear it, hardly anybody talking about it. And just like you really don't hear too much of anybody talking about natural law, but animism really does help us understand natural law at a very deep, deep level. So I definitely recommend people look further into animism. It will definitely open up your mind and help you understand the real connection in this world. And we also got into the Netcher, something that we will continue to open up as we move through these episodes. Okay, so all very important knowledge to understanding what I've been covering regarding the 3 degrees of esoteric Freemasonry, especially the third degree with the regards to the casket or the sarcophagus and the zodiac, okay, which is what I'm going to get into today a lot deeper. And, you know, Logan, what a great worker he is. You know, he really is doing some great work. So again, if you have not got a chance to check out the Wizard Factory, I definitely recommend that you do so. He has a wealth of knowledge. He has so many videos that you just can't go wrong with. And I really, really appreciate his efforts and his work. And I'm glad that he was able to get on here and do this last show with me. So now, that being said, real quick, I just wanted to say that I saw Dune 2. Dune 2 was really, really awesome, okay? I mean, I had some issues with it. I have issues with probably every movie that I like. But Dune 2 was so well done. The audio was amazing, just like Dune 1. So I definitely recommend seeing it in the theater if you can. If not, then you just make sure you watch it with some surround sound, because it is really awesome. But the allegory is really spot on with what I'm talking about, especially with the solar mythos. And I would say it's a little rushed, but I will also say that I have not read the books, so I also don't know, you know, the ins and outs, the deeper aspects of it. But just from watching the movies, Dune 1 and Dune 2, you can really start to see this whole ritual of Osiris within these movies, okay, to some degree. Obviously, it's not going to be exact. It's just a motif, okay? So we have to remember that. Now, the last show before the one that I did with Logan, number 65, was titled Time. And I just want to briefly cover the topics in that show just to make sure that we're all caught up and on the same page for this episode. And the even on show number 64, I got into the X. And the show 65, I also got into the X. And it's all dealing with time, okay? So it's important to pay attention to anything dealing with the X. Always look into what is associated with the X, especially in this year, 2024, okay? Because 24 is equivalent to 24 hours in a day, okay? So it's all about understanding the day. It's all about understanding the time of the day. And so that's why I got into the 24-inch gauge, which is all about gauging your time spiritually. You know, 24 divided by 3, 3 is a spiritual number. That is 888, okay? 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of, you know, working, and 8 hours of spiritual attention, you know, giving your time to the self, you know, helping your evolution. Okay. So this is the year of time. So definitely do not waste it. Don't wait to figure this out. You know, really give your time, align yourself the best that you can. That's what it's about. That's what time management is about alignment, okay? To really sharpen yourself, become the best version of yourself, okay? This is all part of understanding the Master Mason degree. And it's also about understanding time and the Weeping Virgin tracing board that I covered in show number 65, okay? So that's also dealing with the Zodiac, and it is dealing with the triple X or the 666, you know, something that people really have a very misconstrued understanding of, and it goes so much deeper than, you know, XXX doesn't just mean hardcore porn. It doesn't just mean alcohol. You know, 666 doesn't just mean the mark of the beast. It doesn't just mean, you know, Satanism or, you know, some kind of devil worship or whatever. You have to understand that it goes so much deeper than that. And I'm not going to explain that here. If you want to understand that further, you got to go back to show 64 and 65, okay? But it's all about also the spiritual currencies, you know, spending time and paying attention to things that actually matter, and getting, you know, away from the material currency that is ruling most people's minds, okay? And also something else that I got into was the epigominal days, something I'm going to really hammer on today. And I got into cinema, I got into subversive symbolism, I got into the tomb, the womb, death, Osiris, Hiram Abiff, the tracing boards, the ancient Egyptian mythos dealing with the stellar, the solar, and the lunar hero cults, the inner journey of the soul, the spirit, the mind, the body, the brain, gematria, eschatology, which is dealing with final things, something I'm going to really, really open up the next within the next three shows, and also resurrection, metamorphosis, which that's what this is all about, and the Netcher, and also the Ark ship, okay? That is very, very important to understand the Ark ship, okay? And I'm going to get into that a little bit today too. So that episode had a lot to do with time, and I'd like to continue on this concept because time is something that many of us really have a lot of trouble understanding, and it's really at the center of the dogma that we're all part of. You know, time, as few know it, unfortunately, it is a government control mechanism, and that doesn't just mean go rebel against time. It's not a good idea to just throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? Because we need to understand time, okay, and timekeeping. And that being said, if we especially don't understand that time is a measuring instrument of cycles, whether that be day cycles, whether that be annual cycles, lunar cycles, great year cycles, or just, you know, a human life cycle, then we stay ignorant and remain enslaved to man's authority of time, right? So time is a very, very interesting paradox because it's measured through rhythm, it's measured through gravity. And, you know, think about the clock. This is why the second hand sets the tempo, right? It's a, you know, you could look at it as a musical instrument for history and, you know, night and day cycles, of course, right? And time measurements, whether mechanical like watches or, you know, digital watches or clocks or, you know, just some type of etchings or notes on the wall, it's a tracer tracking system. That's what it is. And it helps us record history. It helps us record cycles in nature more accurately, right? So the pyramids and the Stonehenge These are great examples of time recorders telling us, you know, what time of the day or what time of the year it is or what time of the cycle it is, right? So time measurement is vital to our survival in this world. Knowing when to plant and when to harvest. So it's a survival instrument. It's a tool that we use to synchronize with nature and to synchronize with the cosmos more accurately, right? But of course, most people are controlled by time through governmental mind control installments. It's a complete socialist system of slavery. It's not a volunteerist system, which is a system of freedom. Okay? This whole time control installment into the mind has nothing to do with freedom. It has nothing to do with sovereignty. It has everything to do with keeping people disoriented and further enslaved. Because most people are mentally materialist at the heart, that are bound to their five sense illusions and their ego-identified lifestyles. Their ego-identified with time. Time, you know, think about it. People say things like, you know, I only have enough time to work during the day, or I have no time to do anything else. I definitely don't have time to read. You know, the biggest one is time is money. You know, think about that. Time is money. That's like saying money is time. And that's definitely not true. Money is not time. That's not how it works. Okay, that's a materialist delusion. Okay, but it's about understanding that spiritually, time really is money spiritually, because, you know, money means one eye, M-O-N is one, and then E-Y, and then you add an E because it's universal, it's one eye. Time, it really is about understanding the one eye, the spiritual currency. So we have to get this idea out of the minds in the aggregate that time is money. That is a delusion, that is a materialist delusion that most people are trapped in. Okay? Now, let's go to the first slide for today's show. And it's the one that says fifth element, Osiris, and it also has the X on the right. Okay? So when it comes to things in history that really, truly matter, that are dealing with time, these are things that are timeless. Think about it. So what this means is things that are timeless means that which is out of time. Let me say that again. Things that are timeless, things that really matter, means that which is out of time. It's because that which is out of time is not bound to any cycles, or it's not bound to age in the material realm. Okay? So it's all about understanding that which is out of time. So when I keep hammering on and on about Osiris and his family, which is, you know, the five family members stored in the X symbol, which represents five, being the five epigominal days, the five holy days or days out of time. It's because Osiris, as a netcher, as an elemental force in nature, is not bound by time as we know it. Okay, so the science of Osiris is timeless, like geometry. And yes, it does require understanding cycles, but it's, again, it's geometry, it's geometric, it's holy geometry, it's sacred geometry. Okay, so it's an elegantly preserved math. It's an elegantly preserved science passed on through geometry for progeny and posterity. It's for evolution of the human species. Okay? It's not bound by man-made time. It's an apophatic. You can look at it as it's an apophatic science through geometry. It's about finding out what something is by learning what it is not. So it's an affirmation through negation, right? So Osiris is the X, the 5 days out of time, which is found by understanding that the Osirian X is timeless. So if there are 365 days in a year as a full annual cycle, then we record this time through things like seconds, hours, days, weeks, months, and, you know, most importantly, 360 days being analogous to degrees or degrees of a circle or of a cycle, an annual cycle. Okay. So the days within a 360 day annual cycle are measured through man's instrument of time keeping, like the calendar, right? But to account for the 5 extra days, this becomes negated from the full annual 365-day cycle through geometry, through the apophatic method. So a circle with an X in the center, right? So the timeless negated days are the 5 holy days, the 5 epigominal days, the days out of time. Now, the geometry for this is found in a 360 degree circle with an X equally crossing through it, right? But another way this can be found is the square with 2 diagonal lines crossing from corner to corner where they meet in the middle. The 2 lines meet in the middle, causing a central point. Okay? So this creates the 4 seasons and the bird's eye view of the pyramid, right? So you have the fall season on the right, okay, in the west. You have the winter season on the bottom in the south. You have the spring season on the left in the east. And then you have the summer on top in the north, okay? So this is all about understanding the northern hemisphere. Okay? And this is also the directional map of the pyramid that is unfolded. Okay? So this is about understanding this image is a temple. This image is a tomb. Okay? A pyramid is and has always been related to as a tomb, but it's also a temple, okay? Because it's all about mind. It's all about the place where the spirit dwells, okay? It's all about the center. It's all about the raised point in the center. So this is about finding the point in the middle, being Osiris. And as a bird's eye view, it's the midpoint of the pyramid with the middle point raised. These five points hold together 360 degrees with all directions, and five points being the five extra days. Okay, this is why the pyramid is so powerful to understand as a symbol, as a shape. It's because it holds the timeless science of Osiris, which is pyramidal, which, you know, as a myth, he preserves the mathematical science of the connection to the creator, which is sovereignty. This is about freedom. You know, it preserves the science of the cycles. It reveals itself mathematically through the generative principle being ignited in the middle, okay, through true care. That's what it's about. It's about finding that fire that rises that spirit, that raises that spirit, okay? Think about the spiral staircase. What does it do? It provides more steps to the Hierophant. It provides more steps of truth. So the more that we go in search for truth, the more work that we put in, the more that the universe will reveal more truth. And, you know, the Hierophant is the interpreter of the arcane knowledge. That's what the Hierophant does. So the Hierophant is the one, the student who is constantly finding this information, having truth as a new step on the spiral staircase, and being able to interpret that. And so this square with the X is really important to understand separately as well. Okay, so understanding the square separate from the X. Okay, so a square with no X is just, it's just an empty square, right? And a square as a symbol of consciousness is material. It's base level consciousness. Okay, so it represents the physical world or Earth. Just remember, the odd numbers invoke the spirit, and the even numbers invoke the material. So that's why there's always spirit in between each even number. Okay? There's always an odd number in between each even number. Okay? So in order to find spirit, what does someone have to do? They have to go inwards. And where do they go inwards towards? It's towards the center. So, and think about what is at the center. The center is mind. The center is heart. The center is spirit. So one must bring their two pillars in harmony with each other towards the center. One must unite and alchemically distill, you know, purify all elements into one. The fifth element, the raised element. So there's earth that we see on the right, the four triangles that we see. So the inverted triangle with the line going through it is earth. And remember, the line going through the triangle represents equator. Okay? That's what that represents. So that's earth. Okay? And then to the south, we find the other inverted triangle, which is water. Okay? And then to the left, east, is the triangle with the line going through it, the equator line going through it. This is air. Okay? And then to the north, at the top, the triangle is fire. Okay? Now, when they all come together in the middle, this is spirit. This is the quintessence. Quin meaning the five, the essence of the five. Okay? So the point in which masculine and feminine unite at the center. So they wed alchemically at the center. And all these elements are eternal, which means they are timeless. Time does not affect the elements. Okay? So it's about understanding that the timeless spirit holds the material world all together. It's animism. This is all animism. This is symbolically animism. Okay? It's central. Spirit is central in all things. That's what animism is. So that's why the intersection of the X symbol is within the square. And that's about understanding true universal spiritual alchemy in a nutshell. Okay, so it's spirit within material. It's, you could look at it like it's esoteric within the exoteric. So we go and search for the exo, the X, exoteric, the outer, in order to pull out the esoteric, the inner. So we go and search for the X, just like we would, you know, in the myth of going and looking for a treasure, because the X marks the spot of the treasure. And we dig for the treasure. We dig for the chest. The chest is the tomb. The chest is where you find the gold. The chest is part of the human being that has the heart, right? It's at the center. So it's about searching for the exoteric. It's about searching for the outer in order to pull out the inner, pull from the inner, right? So now something else I want to talk about is days out of time is also about being historically irrelevant. So literal history is irrelevant to these sacred eternal sciences. Okay? And that doesn't mean just throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay? We have to distinguish the mathematical, geometric sciences that are stored in the allegories, in the myths, in the stories, being timeless in the here and the now. So we have to distinguish that from literal historical timelines, which are relevant to the human story, aka the evolution of the mythos and pre-totemic societies and beyond. Because geometry is a timeless science. Okay? It's always been here and it will always be here. And what history does is it records the evolution and the entropy of consciousness with these sciences, right? And this gives us an idea of where we're at in consciousness. Okay, so how we measure ourselves in consciousness in the here and now. So this X being the timeless symbol is about remembering and raising the spirit above the material or within the material or the body. Okay? So two-dimensionally, it is triangle on top of the square, which is the seven. Okay? And it's important to understand that triangle on top of the square just means spirit raised above material, and therefore we must know them separate, okay? So we must know that, you know, just like you can't understand the one without understanding the two. You can't understand the one without understanding dualism, okay? Because to understand things dually is about understanding polarity, which helps us understand that really it's just a spectrum, okay? But material is not divided from spirit. Spirit is not divided from material. So triangle on top of the square really is 5 points when you put them together. That's why you have to understand the seven before you can understand the five. You see? Because you have to understand the triangle on top of the square before you can understand the X. Okay? You have to understand that because it is, again, you cannot understand one without understanding the one divided into two. Just like you can't understand light unless you understand dark. Or you can't understand dark without understanding light. Okay? It's the same principle. But it is the four angles or angels that support the one at the center, which is the sevens, the four sevens. Because the square with the X is the only pure symbol with right angles. And those right angles are sevens. This is what I helped people understand with the ancient Egyptian string trick, the 3-4-5 ratio, because it's about understanding that the five supports the seven and the seven gives birth to the five. See? So it's about understanding the right angle. The square is what supports the five. Okay, what becomes the five? So again, three over the four, triangle on top of the square is about the seven. Okay, the 7 points. And once you have the 7 points, now you're giving birth to the five because it's about Osiris and Isis coming together to form the right angle in order to have the 5 points, being Horus, which is birthed as the neocortex in the triune brain. Okay, so it's about 7 going to 5. And that is very, very important to understand, okay? But this is all tied in with the X or the cross, okay? Because it's about understanding that in order for there to be an X or in order for there to be a cross, there'll have to be four 90-degree angles, which are right angles. That means four sevens. This is where we get the 47th proposition. See? That's part of understanding the 47th proposition. Euclid's 47th proposition. So the point in the middle is we can look at this as omniscience, you know, all knowing, right? It's all seeing, right? So it sees all angles, all directions. It's spirit, the one great spirit. And raising the spirit is all about aligning to that. It's all about aligning to that, see? Because it's all about being aligned in the elements. It's all about being aligned or being oriented with nature. Okay? It's about balance. It's about equilibrium. Okay? So, now, we're going to switch gears and we're going to go to the next slide, being the zodiac of the cycles of Osiris. Okay. So this is the science of the zodiac dealing with the solar mythos. Okay. And this is all about the ritual of Osiris. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to cycle through this whole ritual in a clockwise direction through the zodiac, okay? And just really go through so much of the sciences that are dealing with certain parts of this wheel, of this circle, of this zodiac, okay? And I'm going to really hit as many important points as I can. And, you know, one thing that, or a few things I want to say before I go any further is, when you're looking at the zodiac, a lot of people are very disoriented with the zodiac because a lot of the ways that the zodiac has been oriented has been upside down, it's backwards, and it is, you know, not in the correct order, or some of the symbolism is off. So you're going to find a lot of ambiguity, okay? You're going to find areas of contention, and that is okay. Because it's about staying true to the orientation in relation to the actual seasons, to the clock, to the, you know, the solstices, to the orientation of you in alignment with the sun. So stay true to that, okay? So that means the way that I would do this is I would overlay the clock, whether that be a 24-hour clock or a 12-hour clock, and I would overlay that on the zodiac, okay? And I would have the zodiac in the order that you see here. I truly believe that this is the best way to understand the zodiac because, again, it aligns with the clock. It aligns with going clockwise. It aligns with orientation of dark and light in correspondence to consciousness. And it also helps with understanding the occult sciences that I'm going to share with you, okay? So, Zodiac translates to the way or circle of animals, okay? Hence, Zodiac is Zodiac as well, okay? And, you know, I really want people, when they're going through this science, just take your time and really go through this information very thoroughly, because what you're going to recognize is it's all about your internal soul, your internal journey. Okay, it's an alignment to your spiritual journey. That's what this is about. Okay, and there is so much that you can pull from this. And I know it can be very overwhelming. I know it's very disorienting, but I'm trying to help people reorient themselves. So the Zodiac houses are akin to the pieces of Osiris, which are all about distilling back into pure form, being Osiris as the pure form of the symbol X, okay, the fifth point, and eventually the point within the circle, okay? But, you know, that's more advanced, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but distilling in this case means taking many parts of the whole and bringing them into a pure form, okay? This is something that I talked about in my presentation, Oculus, and it's something that I'm going to really get deeply into as I move through these shows, okay? Because it's all about understanding the pieces of the puzzle in order to have a big picture vision and understanding of the whole picture, of the whole puzzle, okay? Because that's really what it is. It's a huge spiritual puzzle, okay? So looking at this Zodiac, now I've gone over a lot of this science already, but this time I'm going to really refine it and go through the cycles simply, but then also at the same time, get into more of the complex allegorical sciences, and so that way you can really see the connections, okay, and see how this beautiful science reveals, okay? So I want to make mention, and this is something I've stated before also, is that it's very important to understand the mythos exoterically, okay? Because the stories, the allegorical vehicles, they hold the allegorical tenors. They hold the esoteric sciences within the stories, which preserve the sciences, the exoteric, right? So it's very vital that we pay attention to certain authors like Gerald Massey or Wallace Budge. You know, one of the most revered on this topic is Plutarch, because Plutarch is the one who really preserved a lot of this knowledge in the ancient past, that we were able to get our hands on his work and, you know, maintain that information, preserve that information, so that way we can observe it and study it and understand how important it is to keep it the way that it is, because that way we're not changing it. Because as anybody with a brain cell knows, that if you pass on stories, we all know how they get changed over time, okay? So that's why Gerald Massey and Wallace Budge, I just want to say, if you're looking into his work, his work is so dire as an exoteric work, because he doesn't really have the understandings of the esoteric. He doesn't really have the knowledge of the occult. And neither does Gerald Massey, but Gerald Massey definitely understands there is something very spiritual. He just, both of these guys don't really understand Freemasonry. Okay. They both understand there's something very, very important, and they did such an excellent job at preserving the exoteric information regarding Osiris and the solar mythos, and definitely Gerald Massey with the lunar and the stellar as well. But both Gerald Massey and Wallace Budge really did excellent at preserving the sciences of the solar mythos, dealing with these Netcher gods, being, you know, gods like Osiris and Horus and Set and Isis and Thoth and so on. Okay. So their efforts to preserve the exoteric mythology is really important to compare and contrast and eventually extrapolate the esoteric tenors and sciences from, okay? Because it's all about understanding how to pull or draw out the information from the X, right? The exoteric, right? So the S, drawing out the esoteric from the exoteric. That's what it's about. It's about drawing out the tenor from the vehicle. So the more that we understand how to do that, the more we're going to really expose so much of this very beautiful spiritual knowledge, okay? So when we're looking at this zodiacal tracing board, it's really important to note that pre-totemic people, aka pre-hero cults, which is, you know, the stellar, the lunar, and the solar cults, the only record of time that they kept was night and day and the wet and dry seasons, okay? And this is something we can easily see that is passed on through the zodiac when we understand the seasons in correspondence to the houses. Okay, so if you're looking at the zodiac, it's really easy to see. Night is the bottom half of the zodiac. Day is the top half of the zodiac, okay? So that knowledge is passed on from the stellar and the lunar into the solar. Okay, so it's all stored within this one image. And, you know, spring is the time of the wet season in the northern hemisphere, right? So this is the time when it rains the most, and therefore this is the wet season. And then the dry season would be autumn. Right? So this is about understanding the seasons that were recorded in a simple way are able to be stored within the zodiac. Okay, so just really think about this zodiacal wheel as a tracing board, because that's what it is. It is a tracing board. And so, you know, just to really start out in the most simple way. You know, I want to continue talking about the simplicity of this tracing board so we can really have a better understanding when we get into more of the advanced material. So we have, again, light and dark, night and day, right? And that is so key to understand in a very simple way. Okay. And, you know, this can be related to the earth in the sense of, well, there's an arc of the sun from our perspective on earth. There's the arc of the sun going from east to west. Okay. So that's, you know, as you look at the clockwise direction on the zodiac, that's what you see. The, you know, rising from the east and then setting in the west. Very simple, okay? And, you know, and then of course when it goes down down in the west, that means the sun is going, from our perspective on earth, it is going underneath the earth, Okay, that's how the mentality is. That doesn't mean that's how it actually is, but it's from our perspective on Earth, not from NASA's perspective, not from, you know, some kind of satellite perspective. Okay, it's about just understanding something very simple as our perspective from Earth. Okay, and also when you're looking at this archetype, this tracing board, it is masculine on top and feminine on the bottom. You know, you can look at this sexually, okay, because the top part is male. And the male is light. Light penetrates the dark. Dark receives or submits to light. So when the light of the sun is going into the dark, penetrates the dark, okay, this is the beautiful cosmic sexual dance or sexual act, okay, where the sun is going in. And so this is also what creates the yin yang. Okay, so you have the yang energy on top, which is penetrating the yin energy, and the sun going into the yin energy is the light that you, the white dot that you see in the black yin energy in the yin yang symbol. Okay, so then going into the dark is about going into the underworld, going into the journey, the spiritual internal journey. And then going through this whole bottom half, what comes out is the black dot. Okay, the feminine spirit is raised into the feminine yin spirit is raised into the yang, white, okay? So that's why you have the spirit of the yin is going into the white. That's why you, with the yin-yang, you have a black dot in the white and a white dot in the black, okay? That's another way to understand this sacred science. Okay, it's a very, very blatant, beautiful science that makes so much sense when you understand this zodiac. Okay, so hopefully that's making sense to people. Hopefully it's painting a very beautiful picture in your mind. And I really, truly believe that if you rewatch this and study it and also keep on listening to more of the sciences, it's going to really start to resonate. Okay, it's going to really start to paint this picture and the pieces are going to fit together and it's going to make a lot more sense. Okay, so it's really important to understand this. And another simple way is birth, growth, decay, and death. Okay, and that means that Aries is where we are birthed, okay? We always have to remember Aries is the first house of the zodiac. Why? Because that's where birth takes place, okay? So there is a lot that goes into this, and there's no coincidence that Aries actually has a symbol just like the fallopian tubes or the ovaries of the feminine genitalia. So that's, you know, that's about understanding the ram, okay? Because that is the symbol, the ram, okay? Because it's about understanding that this is where we arise. Aries is arise, whether that be physically birthed or spiritually birthed, which I'm going to get into a lot later, okay? So this is about understanding the annual cycle alignment to spring, summer, fall, and then winter, okay? So birth, growth, decay, and death is in alignment to spring, summer, fall, and winter. And really keep this in mind that there is nothing evil about this science, like a lot of people like to associate. You know, we have to get this idea of death or fall somehow being evil or associated with evil. We have to get this out of our mind if we really want to understand reality truly, and, you know, especially with this ancient science, okay? There's nothing evil inherently about fall or death, okay? So the sciences that we're dealing with in the zodiac, we have to understand it's dealing with astronomy, it's dealing with astrology, and it's dealing with astrotheology. So with astronomy, it's dealing with the urnography, which is essentially the mapped out stars of the sky, the night sky. Okay, so it's arithmetic of space and time. Okay, this is the fourth part of the quadrivium, or the seventh part of the seven liberal arts, if you include the trivium. Okay, so it's really important to understand astronomy along with the constellations. That is the mapping out of the stars. Okay, so then astrology is, this is what allows us to learn our relationship with the stars and the planets and with the alignments and configurations. And we do this through divination, okay? And also predictions dealing with alignments, right? So it's about finding meaning in the body of the sky. Okay, it's about finding the meaning through understanding the terrestrial connected to the celestial. Okay, the earthly to the cosmos. Okay, so it is a very unique divination system. Now, astrotheology is the study and science of cycles, which is the study of nature or the creator, okay? So it's an allegorical translation of cosmic stories, especially like, you know, biblical stories that too many people take literal. They don't have any understanding of the esoteric sciences within the biblical texts at all, which is where humans tend to make, you know, the greatest errors in consciousness. This is why we're not evolving, because we're too literal and too religious, and we're not understanding the sciences that help us reconnect in nature. So this science of the zodiac is a layered bridge of learning the self through learning actual sciences of cycles stored in myth. So this solar mythos cycle of Osiris is about a story. Okay, this story is all tied together with instructions that are found in each piece of his spiritual symbolic body. That's why he is an archetype. He's a major critical body of knowledge. Think about it. See, people might say, well, why do we need to talk about the gods or the stories of the gods? Why do we even need the myths if we already know the sciences of the cycles? And this is a great question. And the answer, and I really hope people take note of this answer. The answer is that the myth, the story, it preserves the spirit. It stores the spirit, the knowledge of the spirit. And so what is the spirit? The spirit is what holds all the knowledge, all the sciences together in one place. It is the substance. It's the glue. It's central. That's the point. That's the light. That's the truth. Okay? So without an exoteric story or myth, the science gets scattered. It gets divided. It gets segregated. It gets compartmentalized, which is part of the danger and why we're in this major psychological material-based mess. So the whole point of Osiris being cut into pieces and scattered as a story is to remind us of how important it is to remember or reassemble or rebuild and then attain the pureness and to not lose it, to not let it get lost, to preserve it for future generations, for progeny and posterity, for freedom, for their freedom, for truth. So the myth preserves the spirit. Think of it like this. The square is the exoteric myth, which conceals the spirit, being the esoteric, the inner. It's that simple. So keep this in mind with the zodiac, because at the center, this is what the houses support, right? The sun, right? But simultaneously, the center is what holds it all together. That's spirit, truly. It's not the sun in the literal sense. That's how we get into a lot of this materialism trouble, okay? This is why we get stuck in materialism. The sun is an aspect of the spirit. It's symbolic of the spirit. The sun is a symbolic proxy for spirit. Spirit rises and falls like the sun. But the sun, as a symbol at the heart of the zodiac, this is very vital to understanding the solar mythos and the sun as spirit. Okay, especially before it becomes corrupted in the later phases of the solar mythos, before it becomes material worship or solar worship. Okay, so since we're talking about proxies, we have to understand that Osiris in the solar cult is anthropomorphic. He's human-like. He has human-like features. And this is very, very important to understand in the solar cult, especially. This is part of why this solar mythos becomes corrupt, because people willfully, ignorantly associate these netchers, these elemental powers like Osiris. They associate these powers as literal people, just like people literalize Jesus. And that is a major part of the corruption in the priest class, because then we get most of the world believing the physical, zombified resurrection of this Christ figure that comes, you know, later in the evolution of the solar mythos. Okay? And this is complete mental materialism. It's solar material worship. It's masculine dominance. Okay, mentally, it's mental masculine dominance, because materialism is masculine. So this is really the degradation of the solar mythos. It's literacy and solar worship. Okay, and I'm not dismissing whether some guy named Jesus Christ lived 2,000 years ago. Okay, I'm not getting into that. But what I am saying is, if we don't understand these figures that we're told are historical, if we don't understand them in a spiritual archetypal form, then we remain ignorant and we might as well just have faith and belief. Okay? And have no knowing, no understanding, just live blind. Okay? So, and that's what leads to slavery. That's what leads to materialism. That's what leads to man's law. That's what leads to socialism. So this is about being mentally in the upper half of the zodiac with no spirit yet, okay? This is about being spiritually bereft. This is where Osiris begins as the god of the living. So in other words, the R complex in control of the whole brain. Okay, and this is a very beautiful gift that we have been given, because it's the very thing that keeps us alive. Our R complex makes us get up and live every single day of our life, of our life cycle. So when this is in control, this is ego in control. And so the beauty is that, you know, the R complex is like training wheels for life. Okay. And we can stay on those training wheels. Okay. But it limits us. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get rid of the training wheels and become free of the training wheels. Okay? That's one way to put it. Okay? So Osiris as the god of the living is Osiris before the god of the dead. Okay? And we have to understand this, because it's all about understanding the R complex, the reptilian brain being dominant over the whole brain. That is materialism. That is survival of the fittest. That is social Darwinism. Okay? That's what leads to socialism. That's what leads to man's law. You see? So we're trying to free ourselves from man's law. That's why we have to become conscious of this science. This is the science that the dominators of this world know very well, okay? Because it's occult science of self. But, you know, we do have to understand that there's a reason we start out in materialism. We have to understand this is why we start out in the top half of the zodiac, okay? In our physical birth, okay? We start out in the world of light being solar, okay? We start out in the world of, you know, the land of the living, because Osiris is making sure that we stay alive. You know, this is about understanding that the R complex will keep us alive in this natural simulation until we break out of it. Okay. And that we have to understand there is the natural simulation of the R complex ego controlling us to keep us alive. And then there is man understanding the dark side that most people don't understand, and they're controlling the land of the living through the R complex, through fear. They're controlling people and installing their own matrix into the mind of the masses, the land of the blind, okay? They are installing that. They have been for thousands and thousands of years. These are ancient, dark psychologists that understand these sciences, and they're using it against those who do not understand. Because all they have to do is keep people blind of spirit, and therefore, I mean, they really don't even have to do that these days. People are just willfully blind. They don't want to know. But the point is that you can control people through the R complex and put them into whatever matrix system you want to put them into, whatever control system you want to put them into. And they do, and they're really good at it, as you can see. So that being said, humans in the beginning are ruled by the R complex. They reside in fight or flight because it's all about starting off in survival. So the lower animal part of self means they are mostly dwelling in their lower desires. Okay? People start out in lower desires. They are living in darkness, upright in solar materialism, okay? And a lot of this has to do with all of the material indoctrination in the child's beginning years, as well as basically just making sure that anything spiritual is stripped away from them in their younger years, so they are all just blindly indoctrinated and believing in this material world as only material. This is how there are so many wars in this world, because everybody is in materialism. Most people in this world are in materialism, and it's easy to install anything material, like with order followers of the world. All you got to do is just install into their mind that they're going to receive material benefits like money, like a house, like a wife, like, money for their children. And therefore, they'll do anything for that because it's all materialism. They are spiritually bereft. Okay, and people who support them are spiritually bereft, and they're also materialists. Okay, they're blind. They don't have the knowledge of spirit yet. They don't have the knowledge of the dark side yet, because they always associate dark with evil. And that's not how it is. People are really stuck, blinded by the light, blinded by materialism. So the top half of the zodiac can be looked at as the beginning stages of a human life, okay? So all basically mostly physical and based in materiality before hopefully beginning to descend into the underworld or the reflection stage or the shadow mirror, or the sacred half, if you want to call it that. So this is where we must go. no matter what system, no matter what esoteric system or mystery tradition, no matter what science that one uses, we must go into the dark in order to understand and appreciate the light that we live in. You see? So that's why. So we're in all these generations of materialism, and that's why we're birthed into materialism, because this is all a solar cult that we're all part of that has been corrupted because people literalize things, and that maybe they've even been conditioned to literalize, which they have, yes, but even in the beginnings of the degradation. Because people get away from the real sciences of nature because ego gets in the way. Ego becomes inflated. Ego wants to dominate. Okay, so here we are. We're in this age of the late part of the solar mythos, and we have the ability now to become conscious of how this solar mythos became corrupted, understand the beginnings the best we can, and really start to reorient ourselves so that way we don't remain materialists, aka believers in man's law, aka believers in socialism, aka just completely spiritually bereft. Okay? Now, let's go to the slide that says Amenta in the middle. So, we can't understand this sacred science of the zodiac unless we go through the underworld, the spiritual journey through the darkness, the deep dive shadow work. And this is about learning the foundation of your house, your internal temple, which is symbolically the square, the base, the place that most people never care to investigate. This is why if you don't understand the base that you stand, you'll never understand, because it's about going under where you stand. And most people are just too cowardly. They're too apathetic. They could care less about the floor that they stand on or live on internally, which is Masonically the checkerboard floor. And the ruling class of this world, they understand this floor better than most people on this planet. Okay? And these people will and do play with the ignorant minds of this information all day, every day. And this is something you can know when you actually learn this information. And this symbolic area or lower half was actually known by the ancient Egyptians as Amenta. Amenta, okay? The ancient square. That's what Amenta really means. It means the ancient square. So it's about learning your square. It's about learning how to build upon the square. And the ancient word for square is actually Nika or Nika. N-E-K-A. And remember, Ka means spirit. Okay? So it's about building on the Nika. And also keep in mind, in order to understand the whole of something, then all its parts must be understood in order to make the big picture connection, right? And the word aumenta comes from amen, meaning secret or sacred or concealed. You know, where have we heard this word amen? Well, it's a Christian way of typically of praying at the end of a prayer, you end with amen, right? And amen is about a concealment of a sacred energy that you are giving to the Creator. It's a sacred space between you and the Creator. That's what it literally means, but people who pray have no idea what they're really doing, but they do feel it, you know? They really do have, you know, that's their level of consciousness to where they're able to connect with the Creator the best they know how at that level of consciousness. But to become conscious of what amen really means, it means concealed. It means secret. It means sacred, okay? And the word, so amenta is amen and then ta, right? And ta means land. So this bottom half or internal part of the being is a secret land or a sacred land. And this is an ideograph. It's not a real location, okay? And, you know, an ideograph, if you're not familiar, it's basically a symbol or an image that essentially hints or suggests an object, what an object is, without its name being said or without its name being expressed. So if you have ever sent an emoji through text, like a smiley face, what's that mean? It means happy, but it doesn't say happy, right? You just know that's what it means, right? I mean, there's other meanings for it, but essentially it just means happy, right? So a happy face emoji means happy. So only knowing the surface of this upper half of the zodiac is analogous to seeing what the light is hitting, okay, which is obvious, right? It's all obvious. This is why we literalize things, because it's obvious. The occult is not so obvious, but having an understanding is more of a full spectrum view, which means to not just look at something with light, but also with the dark half, the dark understanding. Having an understanding is about going into the dark in order to have a full spectrum, big picture knowing and big picture connection. You know, it's about sharpening towards the point, towards the center, towards the light. Okay? So going through Amenta is all about the beautiful, arduous spiritual journey to reconnect the spirit and Mother Nature. Okay? It's the internal process in search for truth. Okay, because you can't just have one side of the picture. You have to have the other side of the picture in order to make sense of what is central in between, right? And Amenta, when, you know, imagining this ideograph, it shouldn't be looked at as being under the earth. It should be looked at as, you know, looking deeply through the earth, okay, spiritually. It's about going into the heart of darkness. It's about going into the center of darkness. It's all about mental work. It's all about mental orientation. It's about heart-based intelligence. It's about learning degrees of consciousness. And this is all part of the evolution of Amenta in the mythos, the whole ancient Egyptian mythos. But of course, you know, I'm trying to help people understand it in the solar mythos with this zodiac. And there was a major aspect of Amenta which became the world of the dead, which was the burial place that was called Khasu, K-A-S-U, Khasu. And Khasu just means something like a case or like a box or some kind of enclosure, something that contains something, okay? It's a container. So it's about the dead of the material self, the material body. This is really the Khasu, okay, that we're trying to bury and be born again, born in a second birth of the spirit. So this is part of the mythos where Osiris became the god of the underworld, or Amenta, right? And also, keep in mind that this is taking place as an evolution of the cult of Amen, hence, you know, Amenta, right? And this is taking place within the solar cult phase, okay? So it's about the sun going down in the west to pass through Amenta and rise again in the east. And this is, you know, when it rises in the east, this is what's known as the Mount of Glory, because it's about the sun rising in the spring equinox, you know, in the middle of Earth. It's right out of the middle of Earth. So this is part of the science of the second degree of esoteric Freemasonry, because it's about passing through the dark, passing through the underworld. And this is all about understanding the evolution and perfection of the science of the eschatology, which is dealing with final things, okay, where things come to an end and then begin again, okay? So let's go back to the slide that says cycles of Osiris, okay? So the early solar cult people, they perfected their eschatology, the science of final things. They did this through the science of Osiris by connecting the beginning and the end of a circle or cycle. Okay, the circle is the symbol, the cycle is the actual, you know, from the beginning to the end, and then, you know, restarting. And this is what's known as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, right? So there's the beginning of the year and then the end of the year as an annual cycle. So this is about commencement and re-commencement of a cycle. It's the completion and restart of a circle or cycle. So I just really wanted to make sure that people understood this before I go any further. Okay, and I'm going to continue to explain that as I go forward. Now, let's go to the slide that says N-U-N, nun, or noon. And I think people should pronounce it noon and I'm going to explain why. Okay. So another thing that we need to note here is in the Egyptian science, the way that the priest class taught the mysteries of Amenta was through using these signs or images of the stellar goddess Nut or Nut. And this is all about understanding the celestial waters of space. Okay? So these images are a type of sign language with the name Nu or Nun or Noon. And they represent the sky. Okay? They represent the sky above the earth and below the earth. So this is where we get this idea of high noon. Okay, so when the sun is at its peak, typically around 12 noon, this is where the sun is at its most high in the day sky, and we typically say high noon. But you never hear anybody say low noon, right? But there really is a low noon. It's the sky below the earth. Okay? So that's what we have to understand. There is a high noon and a low noon. If there was a high noon, there always has to be the opposite, right? So there is a low noon. And of course, the Egyptians didn't believe that the sky was some kind of two-dimensional symbol with corners, you know. I just want to make that clear because this glyph is very sharp looking. It has 90 degree angles. So just the one glyph that you see that says stellar goddess Nut or Nut. I didn't put the image of Nut, but if you go look Nut, the stellar Egyptian goddess, if you go look her up, you will see she is a being of the stars who has her hands on the ground, the earth, and her feet are on the earth. And she's typically held up by the god Shu. And she is standing or on all fours with Seb or Jeb as the earth god, okay? So it's really important to understand this is a glyph of Nut or Nut, okay? And this is part of understanding sign language. And, you know, I just want to be clear. We're seeing a reflection of the glyph because this was, again, the way that the priest class taught the science of Amenta by understanding the sky below the earth, okay? Because it's about a reflection, as above, so below, but it's also it's about understanding that there is an underworld and then there's an above world, okay? The above world is the day sky, the below world is the night sky. Okay, so we have to understand both simultaneously, and we have to understand it as a reflection as well. Okay, but these two images or symbols or glyphs or signs, if you want to call it that, as one, what they do is they create the square. Okay, so, or they also create a rectangle. You have to understand it's about understanding that they can come close together or far away, creating a rectangle horizontal or a rectangle vertical, okay? And there's a reason for that, but there are four angles, okay? So you have four sevens, and yes, this is part of understanding the 47th proposition as well, but just keep in mind that Nut or Nut gives birth to Osiris as her first childbirth. And this is why the glyph of Nut is the square, which is the womb. So think about that, okay? So you can look at the Milky Way as the womb that gives birth to the sun, or the square that gives birth to the X, or the point, or the light, or the one. So it's the point within. Okay, so you could also look at it as material that gives birth as the spirit, which is the symbol for the spiritual second birth. So this is a seed in the middle that needs to be grown. You can look at it like that, okay? So four corners, or four angels or angles of Nut, of the Nut glyph, these are akin to the four siblings of Osiris. So the four siblings are Horus the Elder. Then there is Set or Typhon. Okay, and these are both brothers of Osiris. And then you have the twin sisters of the three brothers, which is Isis and Nephthys. Okay? So we have to understand the four siblings of Osiris are the five family members all together. Osiris in the middle, okay? The first birth from Nut, okay? So the Milky Way giving birth to the sun. So now, let's go back to the cycles of Osiris, all right? You know, and this, what's so beautiful about this science is, like, you know, these people had such a beautiful imagination with the sciences that they preserved with these elemental powers, or these orbs, or these stars, or the earth, the terrestrial and the celestial. The sciences are stored in these myths, in these stories. So the imagination was developed with science. You see, it's not just the imagination just running wild and just making stuff up. It's the imagination using sciences that help us learn how to plant, or when to plant and when to harvest, and how to rise, and understanding our fall, and understanding our light, and understanding our dark side, our dark sides, right? That's what it's all about, you see? So there is something very beautiful and powerful about this science, because it's about developing the self spiritually, okay? And it's about raising the spirit into the physical body. It's not about, you know, just you're raising your spirit and leaving your body. It's not about breaking away from the material. It's not about demonizing the material, okay? It's about finding your care and igniting your spirit, raising your spirit into the material body. So that way, you can live in the world connected to nature. Because the R complex just will make you live physically, okay, with no understanding of what's really going on. It's just all lower desires. It's just all materialism. It's just all faith, all belief. But having spirit raised into the body is about understanding these institutionalized religions. It's about understanding socialism. It's about understanding the dangers of material solar worship. It's about understanding that we must get back to Mother Earth, because that is how we become healthy. That is where we tend to put the health back into the land, because it's about giving back to nature. Give to nature and nature will give to you. And knowing why you must do that. So, we're going to talk about this science, and I'm going to go through a lot of this, a lot of the houses, especially in the bottom half. Because here's the thing, is what I want to do is I want to show people the top half, but help people understand that the top half really can't be understood with its beauty until you go through the bottom half and then rise out or up to the top half. That's where you're really going to see the beauty and the magic. Okay. So this is all about understanding liminal space from the outside exoteric understanding to the inner esoteric world, the inner part, the inner science of self, the inner science of the soul. So it's all about the transition of time and space from your lower to your higher, from your material to your spirit. Okay? So in the top half of the zodiac, this is the place that we begin. And I talked about this earlier, but I'm going to go a lot more in detail, okay? So the top half is light. The top half is solar, okay? The top half is all about understanding that we start off in a material world, especially in the solar cult world, the world of materialism, okay? So people are very, very locked into materialism, and therefore when we are birthed into this physical world, we are already coming out of the womb in Aries into a material-minded society, okay? Most societies in this world are very material oriented, and most people who think that they're spiritual are really not spiritual and have no idea of true spirituality and have no idea of the real spirit or the Holy Ghost. They don't understand what that means through the scientific lens. Okay, it's all faith-based, it's all belief-based. Okay, and that's where we get into trouble. But the point is, we start out in this physical birth in Aries, and you can look at this as from this whole top part is where most people reside and end up dying. They never even go into the dark. Okay, so most people are living the land of the living. This is where Osiris is the god of the living. Okay, so this is where Osiris starts in this myth. So it's all about understanding that most people are living as if they have blindfolds on over their eyes, because they're blinded by the light of materialism. Okay. So we have a whole world mostly filled with materialists, mostly filled with children. Think about it. Children are the ones birthed into this world of materialism, and then they stay in that world. Because why? Well, it's comfortable. It's warm. It's, you know, it has, you know, this, when we think of the sun, we think of nutrients. We think of things being lively. It's something we can see. Think about that. Because it's easy. All we got to do is just look at something. It's physical. It's physically there. It's a material thing. We can see it. Therefore, don't need to look into anything else. So that's why people are blind to the dark side. People are blind to the spirit. People are blind to the sacred feminine, because it's all about their five senses. Their five senses. If their five senses are the only thing that they have, then they're blind to the spirit. If it's only something that they can taste, feel, touch, hear, or smell, that's all they need to know in this world of materialism. You don't need anything else. You don't need to know of anything else, how things actually work. Okay, so it's all comfort. Materialism is comfort because you can see everything, right? So that's why it's associated with day sky. That's why it's associated with warmth. That's why it's associated with spring and summer. Okay? Because it's all about things that you can see. It's all about light that you can see. But really, people are living in a simulation. They're living in the R complex. This is why, again, Osiris is the god of the living, meaning the R complex that controls the people, which puts people in a simulation in nature. But then, of course, that gets corrupted, because if you stay living in the simulation and don't break free of that, someone else who understands the whole simulation will come in and control that simulation to their benefit with their agendas. And that's exactly what the dark priest class are doing every single second of the day, because people don't ever go into the underworld, Amenta. No one ever goes into in search for spirit. No one ever goes, most people, okay? I'm not making a blanket statement. I'm saying most people, okay? So, therefore, most people are in this upper half of the zodiac, symbolically, okay, allegorically, because they're upright living in the R complex. They're living in survival. They're living in fight or flight. They're living in with the belief in man's law, because that's what it leads to. It leads to socialism. That's what socialism is. So people are living upright with the ego, the R complex. Okay, this is the world of social Darwinism. This is the world of materialism. This is the world of moral relativism, because this is why we go to war, because materialists are really the ones who have no problem going to war, because that's how they see the problems getting fixed. They don't want to go do the shadow work. They just want to focus on the things that they can actually see with their five senses. That's why there's such thing as a five sense illusion. Because there's not just five senses. This is why people are stuck in material time because it's something they can see. It's something they can see that is being measured. Okay? So, think of it as Osiris going through from Aries as the sun going through each house of the zodiac clockwise. Going through Aries, going through Taurus, going through Gemini, going through Cancer, going through Leo, going through Virgo. Okay? So this is about, remember, birth, growth, decay, and death. Okay? So you can look at it as a human being who goes through life in their material, this is their first birth. They're going through life in a material mindset. And then as they get older, they start to decay, right? And then, sadly, a lot of people never have a spiritual rebirth or birth, okay? They never have that second birth. And then they go to their death. They go all the way down in the dark, never ever having a rebirth. And that's one of the saddest things that I came to realize when I began to have my second spiritual birth, my second birth. Okay? Because it's when you understand how important it is to have a second birth, because it's all about reuniting with nature. That's all it really means. It's sad that someone can go their whole life in a simulation that is perverted, that is all based in materialism, and then go to their death. Even Christians, so-called Christians and so-called Muslims and so-called Jews, they go to their death without any real spiritualism. They say that they're spiritual, but you know that they're not, because it's all faith-based. It's all based in belief. Okay? So, you know, we have to understand something about these types of major religions like Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, is that there really are esoteric systems that can help with this second birth. Like, for instance, Christians, if they went further into the esotericism of Christianity, would find Rosicrucianism. If you go into Islam, there's what's known as Sufism. And Sufism is the esoteric teachings of Islam. And then you have, in Judaism, the esoteric teaching would be Kabbalah, dealing with the Tree of Life. Okay? And so all these systems, and there's other systems too. There's other religions that have esoteric systems too. But the point is that this is all about understanding that these esoteric systems can help people go into their second birth. Okay? And it is part of understanding Gnosticism too, because understanding all these religions really is all about, and their esoteric systems, it's all about getting to the heart. Okay, having gnosis of these systems, of these esoteric systems, can really help us understand this underworld much better. Okay, this is the esoteric. This is the inner. This is Amenta. Okay? You can look at the top half as the exoteric, the outer, the part that people can see, that most people know, okay? But of course, you know, think about atheists. Atheists go, they can go their whole life and never reach any type of spirituality. I mean, obviously, if you go your whole life as an atheist, you'll never, ever have a second birth, because they think that's just ridiculous. They never look into the information. They never do any real research. They just want, most atheists that I have met or that I have followed or that I have listened to, they only want to point the finger at Christians as just being dumb people who have faith in dumb things. That's it. They just want to make fun of them. They want to mock them. They don't want to learn the real reality of nature, of this ontological reality. They don't want to learn that. No, they just want to go through life in a materialistic mindset, which is basically the top half of the zodiac down to the death. Okay, down to the winter solstice, that is death. Okay, never having a second birth. And it's crazy because when you think of, you know, I think about this when I talk to atheists and they say, you know, when we die, when people die, they just, you know, go into the dirt and they're dead. That's the end. And, you know, I think about that in the sense of, if you were to die and you're going into the dirt, you know, that's your last, that's the eschatology of atheism, just going into the dirt. That's the end. You know, that's the final thing, dirt, right? And it's funny because the lower half of the zodiac is akin to dirt or soil, okay? So just imagine that that's where you believe that you're going, and then that's where you actually end up waking up as a spirit, is in dirt, you know? Just imagine that. That's just crazy to think that someone can go that far in believing in nothing but material their whole life, and then that's where they end up, is in the dirt, in the soil, right? In the, you know, 6 feet under. So that's why it's important to look further into the sciences. This does not require belief. Everything I'm sharing does not require belief. It does not require faith like these institutionalized religions or like atheism, because atheism really is a faith-based system. Okay, let's be honest. It's a system based in the faith or belief that everything is material. Okay? Because they don't want to even entertain the ideas, the sciences of these mystery traditions. They look at it as it's all hokum, it's all a bunch of BS, and actually has nothing to it. When this is what's been talked about for hundreds of thousands of years, that preserves the sciences of the cycles. Therefore, we understand when to plant and when to harvest. Very simple. But then you can relate that to consciousness, and it's, you know, it seems complex, but it's really not, you know, when you really study, you know, something they don't want to do. They just want to mock and put down Christians. That's what you think your purpose is to just mock Christians? I mean, what a waste of life that is. You know, so this is all about understanding the life of institutionalized exoteric belief systems where they never experience the esoteric. Okay, so, you know, from Aries to Sagittarius, from, you know, birth to death, that is where most people go, unfortunately. Okay, but people who do experience and actually give the esoteric realm a chance, meaning the inner self, this is where we start to unfold the occult and understand natural law, understand the difference between right and wrong. So Osiris going through Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, in the beginning, in the physical realm, this is Osiris being the god of the living, okay? Now, when the sun reaches Virgo, okay, this is right before the autumn equinox. This is all about what I talked about in show 65 with the weeping virgin and time being the father, the time, okay? And so Virgo is virgin. And Virgo, as you can see the image, you can see it is a female virgin woman with wings, and I believe she's holding wheat, okay? And what that means is this is about getting ready for the harvest, okay? So this virgin weeping is all about understanding that the sun, the light, is about to go into the southern hemisphere. And therefore, the warmth and the light is about to go down. It's about to get colder. It's about the sun going into the fall season. That's why the sun is falling, right? So it's going below into the box. It's going into the tomb, okay? That's why in the tracing board with the weeping virgin, there is the open box, the open tomb, or the open sarcophagus, because it's about the sun going into the tomb, okay? This is part of understanding the Hiram Abiff myth, okay? So this is about the sun entering into the tomb. This is about the sun going into the west, whether that be the day sky or the season going below the autumn equinox, okay? So it's all about going from the summer into decay. This is about the raised R complex now going into and decaying into death. This is about material starting to decay, because it's about, oh, the spirit is starting to be seen. So the material is starting to decay. The sun is going into the season of decay. The leaves on the trees are starting to change colors, because it was all green from spring to summer. Now the leaves of the trees are starting to change color, and then they're going to start to fall, right? That's another reason for fall, right? So, because it's all based in nature. So when the sun is going into Virgo and then into Libra, this is why Libra is also associated with that symbol that you see that looks like a horseshoe with a line underneath it. That is the sun going down in the west. Okay, that is the sun going down into the earth. Okay, that's why the sun looks like it's, when it's going down, it looks like it's going into the earth from our perspective. Obviously, it's not going into the earth. But it's about understanding that from our perspective, the light is going down into the earth. This is why Amenta is the sacred land. It's about the light going through, not going underneath the earth, but going through the earth. Okay, so now as far as the exoteric story is concerned, Set or Typhon is the brother of Osiris, and Set invites Osiris to come to an event where he has this big box that he made with his 72 comrades, okay? And they made this box to invite Osiris to come to this event and, you know, get in the box. So he was deceived. So this invitation is all about the darkness inviting the sun. It's about Amenta inviting the sun into the underworld, okay? So it's an invitation, but it's a deception, okay? There's a deception. So the deception, this is part of the myth. So the deception is, this is why the virgin goddess is crying, which is, you know, the virgin goddess is also akin to Isis, okay? But it's about understanding that the sun is going to, is going in the west, is going into the autumn equinox, going below the equator line into the south, okay, to the southern hemisphere of Earth, okay? So that's why Set is associated with the southern hemisphere, and Set is associated with the west, okay? Because Set is where the sun sets, right? But in the autumn equinox, this is about Set or Sut, which is south, okay? Set is both south and west. We have to remember that. That's very key, okay? So when Osiris comes to this event, he trusts his fellow brother, and he gets inside this box, but he's deceived, and then his brother Set, or Typhon, okay, it's Typhon as well, his brother Typhon, Set, takes this box, or this coffin, and the 72 comrades of Typhon hammer down the door and trap Osiris in there, which kills the light. So they murder the light. They murder Osiris. And then what they do is they throw Osiris into the river, being the Nile River. And just remember, the bottom half of the zodiac is also water. It is the Nile. It is the soil of the Nile, which is the black land. Okay, so this whole bottom half is the black land. Now, there is another part of this story that we have to understand, is that since this bottom half is also is feminine, so Typhon is not feminine, but we have to remember there are two twin sisters, being Isis and Nephthys, okay? And Nephthys is, she is also a deceiver because she looks like her sister Isis, and then when Osiris, the sun, comes into across or below the autumn equinox, this is the sun entering into the womb of Nephthys. So Nephthys seduces Osiris, making him think that she is Isis. And then Nephthys actually gets pregnant in the myth, and she has a dog-headed being as the offspring, which is Anubis. Okay, so this is another way that we get this idea of dogma, okay? Because even though Anubis is the guardian of the underworld. Anubis is the birth of deception, because it's all about understanding that Osiris impregnates Nephthys through deception. That's why they have the dog-headed being Dog Ma, okay? The dog of Ma, okay? So, and we all know Dogma is about, you know, not having the right information, to be misled, okay, to be deceived. So we have to overcome dogma, okay? So it's all about just understanding that this is a science to help us get out of dogma. This is a science to help us recognize deception, that we've been deceived as material beings. That's why going into the dark is about finding the dogma. It's about finding deception, so that way we can understand the top half of the zodiac. So, Osiris, as the sun, is going into this box, into this sarcophagus, into a tomb. See, because it's autumn is a tomb. The sun is going into the earth. That's why it's an earth element symbol. Okay? So the sun is going into a tomb, and that tomb is the deception of Typhon and Nephthys. And Nephthys and Typhon are actually brother and sister, and also husband and wife. Okay? So because Osiris mates with Nephthys, Typhon gets very upset, and that's one of the reasons he throws Osiris into the Nile River. He murders him, okay? So that is a very important part of the story that I don't really hear anybody else talk about, but we have to understand what that really means, because it's all about deception. It's all about how the deception comes from understanding that the sun is going to the dark side. It's deceiving, because it means that, oh wait, where's the sun going? It just rose up today, but it's further away. It's getting colder. So the days are getting shorter. It's getting, you know, the warmth is going away, right? So this is very powerful in understanding something so deeply interwoven into our being. Okay, and this is something I'm going to get into here in a few minutes. Okay, I'm going to get a lot deeper into that. But I just want to finish up by saying that the sun has gone into its tomb. The sun has gone into this tomb that is made by Typhon, which is the lower half of the zodiac. Okay? So, this is the underworld. Now, Osiris is lying dead. The sun is lying dead within this tomb, within this sarcophagus. And the word sarcophagus is interesting, because it actually means flesh eating, okay? Which is, you could relate that to material eating, okay? But this tomb, typically when people in Egypt especially have opened up a sarcophagus or a tomb, they find a mummy. And mummy is a very interesting name, because mummy is basically the outer shell that holds the spirit, okay? And mummy is mommy. And mommy is Mammy. And Mammy is all about understanding that, see, people want to literalize everything. Mammy actually means black mother caring for white child, okay? But Mammy, see, and that's, it gets distorted. It gets perverted, okay? It gets literalized. But really, Mammy is black mother of the womb, the bottom half, that is caring for the sun, the light. That's all that is. That's what Mammy means, okay? But it's also about understanding memory as well, because memory is associated with water. Okay, I'm going to get into that later. But just understand, this whole underworld is the Ark. Okay, it is the Ark ship. People literalize that. You know, people think that there really was an Ark that had all these animals. Yeah, esoterically, allegorically, yes, there is in this zodiac. All the zoo animals, the zoo types, the zodiac animals, the circle of animals, the cycle of animals is the Ark. The half of the zodiac is the Ark that holds all these animals. That's what it is. That's what the Ark is. And the Ark is in what? What element is the Ark in? It's in water. Okay? So that's what the Ark is all about. It's all about the storing of the constellations, the animal constellations, the astrologic constellations, okay? The zodiacal constellations. That's what the Ark is storing. That's what an Ark is. This is part of understanding the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, so this water is always associated with the sacred feminine. Soil, black soil, earth, is associated with the sacred feminine. This is the Garden of Eden. The whole circle is the Garden of Eden. The zodiac is the Garden of Eden, because it's about learning the garden. It's about growing in the garden. That's what this is. People want to literalize it. People have no idea what these things actually are because they don't take the time to go through this information. Okay, so when the sun is descending into the southern hemisphere, you can look at this as the masculine is penetrating the feminine. So it's about planting or sowing seeds, or a seed. Okay, this is all about planting seeds. That's what the phallus does in a sexual act. It plants. You can look at it as planting a seed, but yeah, of course, it's about, you know, the semen going to the egg, and then the egg has to allow the semen in, you know, to have the divine spark to generate life. But see, that's the reason, you know, just like a seed, that's the reason that the virgin is holding the sprig of acacia as well, because the sprig of acacia is the hope. It's a hope. It's the hope that a seed is going to sprout. It's the hope that there's going to be a divine spark, because no one can actually make, a male cannot have sex with a female and then there be a child right away. Okay, it happens because it's meant to happen. It happens with the help of the Creator. It's up to the Creator. It's not up to the male. It's not up to the female. It's up to the divine spark whether that can actually happen or not. That's what it's up to. Okay? So that's why there's a hope, because there's no knowing if the sun is going to come back. It's always a hope. I hope that the sun is going to come back. I can, you know, you can depend on it, right? You can, we all depend on the sun to come back tomorrow. We all depend on the sun to come back in the spring higher in the northern hemisphere, right? We all depend on it, but it's really a hope. It's the hope that there will be light, that there will be warmth, that there will be food, that there will be nutrients. So we have to understand that's what this is about. We have to understand that Osiris is the sun that penetrates the, you know, he goes from the god of the land of the living. Now, because he has been murdered by his brother, the sun has been murdered by the dark, if you want to look at it like that. Now, Osiris lies dead. And this is the time period of the winter solstice. Okay, so think about this. Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, in the myth of Hiram Abiff, these are the three murderers of Hiram Abiff. This is Jubala, Jubalo, and Jubalome, right? These are the three ruffians that murder Hiram Abiff in that ritual, okay? But in the ritual of Osiris, Scorpio, the scorpion, is Set or Typhon, who gives Osiris a deadly west sting. Westing, right? So Scorpio gives Osiris a deadly west sting because the sun has gone all the way into the west, right? Into the below the autumn equinox. So that is Scorpio gives the deadly blow to the death of Osiris, the west sting. And so the west sting kills the light. That's, you know, this is why we have to understand. This is where people in materialism go into dark materialism, very dark materialism. And they never, ever awaken. So they go into this whole bottom right corner of autumn, of decay. This is the dark westing. This is before the spiritual awakening. Okay, so this is where really most people go. They're in a state of decay. They're in a state of decay in materialism. So this is a bad place to be, okay? And this is also why Typhon is typhoon, right? In the West, when a hurricane is west of the Pacific timeline, where the new day starts, the hurricane is no longer a hurricane, it's a typhoon, okay? So this typhoon does what? It does damage. It's wet, right? And this is what happens to Osiris. Now, Osiris is in his tomb floating into the mouth of the Nile River, okay? And Isis, his wife, aka sister, okay, you got to understand that as principles. His wife gets word that he was murdered. And she also gets word that Nephthys, her twin sister, deceived Osiris and had a child, which is Anubis, the dog-headed god of the underworld. the guard of the underworld. Okay. So she goes and finds Anubis and has Anubis go find Osiris with her. Because the light of the moon is the light of the sun. So that is how they find Osiris, because Osiris is the light, and the light is going out. Okay, the light is waning. It's in its waning angles. Okay, so that means that we're barely able to see the light of the sun, but the sun's light is still reflecting off the moon. That is why Anubis, as a dog, goes on the hunt to find Osiris, to go find the light. So they find the moon, and they find Osiris, because the light of the moon is the sun. Okay, so they find Osiris in the tomb. And so when they find this tomb, it is within a tree, and this tree is holding the tomb, okay? It is preserving the tomb. And so they have the tree cut down, and this tree represents the tree of life, okay? Because it's what stores the information of Osiris. That's why Kabbalah is so important to this whole myth, okay? And I'm not going to get into that, but the point is about understanding that Osiris is stored within this tomb, within the tree, because Osiris is at the center of the tree. Osiris, as the spirit, is at the center of everything, okay? So this is about understanding that once this tree gets cut down and then Isis opens the tomb and takes out the body of Osiris, then what happens is, what this means is, the light starts to shine again, which tells Set or Typhon that his brother has been found and that he needs to really make sure that he is never found again, okay? That his body, remember I said his body is the body of knowledge, that his body is never found again. So he uses the light of Osiris, which is the sun reflecting off the moon. He goes in the night, he finds his brother, and he doesn't wait. He just chops him up into 14 pieces and scatters his body throughout the land of Egypt. And that translates to the land of the world. And, well, that also translates to this whole zodiac, okay? Because it's all about understanding all the pieces of the zodiac, okay? So this is all about understanding that the pieces are now segregated or compartmentalized all over the world. They're all divided. Osiris, as a body of spirit and knowledge, light, it's all divided. It's all separated. Okay? That's the way that this needs to be understood. Okay? So this is all taking place at the winter solstice, okay? So this is very powerful knowledge to this winter solstice, because it's about cutting the pieces of, you could even say, the creator, the knowledge of the creator, that we can, you know, at least have some kind of understanding of the creator and understanding of nature. All these beautiful pieces of science are just scattered throughout the world. So now the myth, this is akin or analogous to the myth of Osiris being scattered all over the world. That's why it's so hard to find all these pieces and put them back together. That's what I'm trying to do here on the Cubbyhole. Okay? I'm trying to help put these pieces back together so we can see this big picture, so we can get back to pure forms, so we can get back to not being deceived, because Typhon or Set is embodied, the energy of Typhon is embodied by the ruling class of this world. They understand this information. They are embodying this energy, okay, of darkness. They're feeding on it. They're feeding on the ignorance of the masses who don't understand this information. So they have the knowledge. This is why they have a knowledge power differential in this world, because they have all the knowledge of the pieces, and they have compartmentalized these pieces to where people only know a piece here and a piece there, but they don't know the whole picture. Okay? They're all in this power structure, this R complex power structure, where the people at the top, the dark ones, the rulers, the dark psychologists, they understand these pieces to the degree that they do, and they're using it as a way to control people by having that power differential of knowledge. Okay. So that, you know, another thing that I wanted to state here with the pieces of Osiris is that if you can shred Osiris into trillions of pieces, you can do this like what they do with scrolling on social media. Think about it. People have such a small attention span when they're scrolling that they're just seeing little specks, like one second videos like TikTok, or 5 second videos on Instagram, or same on Facebook and all these other different social medias. But those are the main ones. And each video, and there are people trying to get the word out to people through these social media sites, and it's understandable. But see, the thing is that all of those little 1 minute clips or 1 second clips are compartmentalized. They are shreds of this big picture. So that's why we have to spend our time and reassemble, remember what has been dismembered, because it's about remembering all the sciences associated with each piece of Osiris as a whole body of knowledge. Okay? So to be compartmentalized of this information, or to have this information compartmentalized, is to keep people divided. This information, when you really put it together, this is what brings us back together. However you do that, you can do it in so many different ways, but I'm telling you, this way that I'm expressing really condenses, it consolidates, and consolidation is the process of distillation, which is the process of purifying information back into pure form. Okay? That's what it's about. It's about getting back to the zero. It's about getting back to the whole. It's about getting back to the one, which is at the center, the point at the center. It's about getting back to spirit. Okay? The one great spirit, which is within everything. It's at the center of everything in the universe. That's what spirit is. Okay? It's central. Okay? So this is why the sun being masculine is very devastating when we literalize it as spirit. You see, that's why we have to understand this whole ritual of Osiris to rebirth the spirit back into the material and understand it as spirit. Okay, so you know, once Typhon or Set or Sut is scatters these pieces all through the land, this is where Isis is akin or analogous to care. Okay, so this is Isis is the sacred feminine embodiment of care. Okay, to embody Isis as you know, just a science, just an understanding of nature, Isis is analogous to true care, because she is the one who goes in search for the pieces of Osiris. Now, she gets a little help from Nephthys, but she is the one who initiates. She is the one who finds these pieces, okay? And that is what it's about. We, as individual spiritual human beings, if we wish to raise our spirit and have our second birth truly, this is about finding the pieces of Osiris symbolically, okay? That just means that, you know, Osiris is an archetype, okay? But he's an archetype that really does hold all these sciences that help us understand nature, therefore understand source, therefore understand the creator or God, however you want to call that. So it's all about reassembling. It's all about remembering. It's all about reorienting, okay? Because as we reorient ourselves, we start to really see the bigger picture. This circle with all this information that you're looking at, the zodiac, it is pieces of science that we must learn and understand and orient to or align to. Okay, this is all about natural law. Okay, so now I'm not going to go too much further into that, but I'm going to now end the show with primal fears. Okay, because this is so important to this whole process. So I want you guys to go to the slide that says primal fears. Okay. Now, primal fears, when it comes to the zodiac and it comes to the seasons, when it comes to what is etched into our being as human beings, the four biggest primal fears, the four main primal fears are darkness, predators, abandonment, and chaos. Okay. And this to me makes so much sense when we understand this science of the zodiac, because when it comes to darkness, darkness is it is the heart of all beings' primal fears. Because think about it, when it comes to the sun is what? It's light. It's warm. It is nutritious. It gives us nutrients. It gives us sight, better sight, okay? Because we're able to see things, right? And so when the sun starts to go, you know, especially in the northern hemisphere, starts to go down to the southern hemisphere into autumn and into winter, we are left with shorter days and therefore darkness. It's colder. It's darker. It is definitely not as nutritious because we lose, you know, the nutrition of the solar rays. And also, darkness means that we don't see as well. That's why we live, you know, we can live all the way up in the north with electric, okay, to be able to see at night. But even then, that's just, it's not enough, but it's something. That's why we have street lights. You know, people are so used to street lights. So people are so used to headlights. It's because we want to be able to see in the dark, but we fear. We have fear in the darkness. We fear the darkness. See, this is why no one wants to go into the lower half of the zodiac or into the darkness of the self or into Amenta. People don't want to go into a place where they can not see or not understand. This is all part of understanding that we fear what we don't know. Well, if we don't know something, we're in where? We're in darkness. We don't have any light or enlightenment. So darkness is etched into our being as being connected to the sun. So that is why when the sun sets, we become typically afraid and in fear of beings like Set, okay, who the dark priest class embodies. They embody that energy of Set. That's why we fear these predators, you know, these predators and higher echelons of power, because we're in darkness. But really, it comes from understanding that we are afraid of animal predators as well. You know, part of the animal kingdom. We're afraid of beings like lions or bears or snakes or, you know, even spiders, things that have sharp teeth, things that lurk in the darkness, things that we know can mutilate us, things that we know we can't really, you know, have a fighting chance unless we have, you know, a gun or you know, some kind of vehicle that protects us or something like that. So we have these, we have a fear embedded in us of predators. And when it comes to darkness, we're even worse off against predators, because if we don't understand the predators, then we stay in darkness and therefore in more fear. Okay. But when we understand the predators, when we study them, therefore we're not in darkness, you know, mentally as much, and therefore it's not as bad, but we still have the primal fear. It will always be there. Fear is very important to us because it's important to our survival, right? And, you know, that is, you know, darkness is the same thing. We have to find, when it gets dark and cold, we are survivalist in the dark and cold. It's what pushes us to survive. And then there's abandonment. You know, think about abandonment. The sun abandons us in the northern hemisphere, okay? And if you're living in the southern hemisphere, it abandons you when it becomes wintertime down there. But the point is that the sun leaving is abandonment. It is the father leaving. That's part of understanding the father leaving. This is why people cling to this, you know, when we're in a solar material based belief system, okay, being in the top half of the zodiac, where we as a species collectively believe in socialism and man's law, okay, all materialism, this is all about understanding how government will step in for the Son, the Savior. See, it's a proxy. It's a material-based Savior. So that's why we're like, oh, well, if the Savior, the Son, abandons us, then, well, we got government to protect us from the predators, from the darkness, right? This is very deeply embedded into us. Abandonment. And this has, you know, mostly to do with being either too high in the north or being too low in the south. As a species, we're supposed to be more, you know, closer to the equator, I would say, but we're also beings that know how to survive. You know, we're survivalists. We can survive the most brutal weather, but we still have abandonment issues because we don't understand this sacred science. We don't understand the science of the zodiac, mostly, okay? We don't understand that we have abandonment issues because the sun goes from its highest in the summer solstice down to its lowest point in the winter solstice. That is an abandonment. That's why we feel deceived when it goes awry, when it goes away. We feel deceived deep down. Okay, that's abandonment. But see, the thing is that it's really not. You know, it's just the way life works. It's the way the cycles work. And we can learn to, we can either, you know, cry about it and, you know, fear it, or we can learn to live with it and align to it and not live in darkness. But we're survivalists. Well, we will always find a way to survive in the darkness. We'll find a way to survive against predators. We'll find a way to survive if we have been abandoned. But the fourth primal fear is chaos. And people just don't understand chaos because most of us have been programmed to believe that without government, there will be chaos, when really government is chaos. It's spiritual chaos, it's mental chaos, and it is physical chaos, okay? Because it's all about the threat of violence. That's all government is. That's all government will ever be. It will be a threat backed by violence. Government's only means to any ends is through violence. That is chaos. So we have a primal fear to chaos. But see, if we would get out of our darkness and learn the predators of this world, the people who prey upon the lower masses, you know, the dominators of this world, their predators, if we would just learn their mentality, learn their playbooks, learn their ways of manipulation, then we wouldn't feel like we're in darkness anymore. And therefore, you know, would there be chaos as a result? If we were to go into anarchy as a collective, which I don't think we ever will, in the sense of, you know, the anarchy that a lot of people think anarchy is, which is chaos. I do think that we will go into some kind of chaos if government is not around anymore. Okay, if government falls somehow and we end up in, you know, the anarchy that most people think anarchy is, which is, you know, they believe it's chaos, which it could be. We might actually live in a world of chaos but it will be a world that is not run by dark priest class manipulators. And we'll have to just sort things out in a natural way without controllers, and eventually hopefully get to a place where we are synchronized and harmonious because we've educated ourselves to where we don't need to be in such a chaos. But, you know, the right thing to do is just do the right thing, meaning be moral and defend yourself and stop allowing government to be the ruler over the mind. Okay, aka don't allow slavery of the self to be someone else's slave. And that means get out of the darkness, become enlightened, of the slave system, which is part of understanding the zodiac, because part of understanding the zodiac is about understanding time. And the people who rule this world, who are embodying this deceptive set figure or Typhon figure, they have compartmentalized the information of time, okay? To where they're making us believe in their version of time. And that's why, you know, think about the 12 months of the zodiac are all uneven. You know, there's some months are 31 days, some are 30, some are 28. It doesn't have an evenness to it, and that makes us kind of, it's chaotic. It makes us imbalanced. It makes us, there's no rhythm, real rhythm. Okay, it keeps us out of rhythm. But of course, you know, in a solar, if we were to do everything in the lunar, follow the lunar science, we could have 13 perfect months of 28 days, okay, each, right? So 365 days a year divided by 13 is 28, right? So that being said, we are living in a material-based installment that is compartmentalized information, scattered information, divided information in a material world that is causing chaos in our minds. And so we have this fear, and, you know, government steps in as a proxy for order, okay, when really it's all chaos. There's no order to government. Government never, ever has produced order. It never will. And that is the end of the story. Okay? It is always chaos because it's a control system. It's an R-complex control system. It controls people through religion. It controls people through money. It controls people through some kind of authority. It's a control system based from the R complex. Okay, it's all materialism. It's all socialism. Okay, that's what creates chaos. So, all four of these primal fears, I could go a lot further than this, and maybe I'll extrapolate more on the next episode, but what they all four have in common is it's all about survival, okay? You know, surviving the darkness, surviving the predators, surviving the abandonment, surviving the chaos. So if we're all living in survival mode, then we cannot ever evolve and raise in consciousness. So we really have to become conscious. We have to raise up out of the darkness. That's the other point of going into the underworld, is about raising up out of the underworld, raising up out of the darkness, because it's about doing your shadow work, facing the darkness, so you can raise up out of the darkness. Most people have tons and tons of traumas which are hiding in the darkness of their minds, and they never face it. They never try to understand it. They never try to look at it. They never try to do anything about it. Therefore, they live in darkness, and therefore, they fear human predators and stand down. They feel abandoned deep down, and they don't even know it, because their parents were not right in the head. Most people's parents have really done a horrible job at raising their children, because they really haven't raised their children, because they themselves are children who have not been raised. So it's a perpetual child, quote unquote, raising children. And it is really, really bad. But that's why we have to do things like make podcasts. That's why we have to do things like make books. This is why we have to do things like get out in the public and start public speaking about things that actually matter. So that way we can help each other heal and rise up out of the darkness, to not live in so much fear of predators, by being prepared to deal with them. And also to not, you know, to heal yourself from the abandonment, and to know how to synchronize with nature rather than be against nature. And also to learn how to transmute chaos into order by aligning to nature. So these primal fears are very, very important at understanding in this part of this science of the zodiac, okay, down at the winter solstice, but really from the autumn equinox over to the spring equinox, okay? So this is very, very important information that we really need to face, that we really need to look into a lot further, and, you know, understand that there is so much that we can learn about ourselves and really, really rise up out of the ashes of the ignorance and the apathy and the laziness and the cowardice. We can really do it. We can really have a world where we are living freely and not bound to the shackles of government, aka slavery, aka our own ignorance, our own laziness, our own darkness. We have to get out of those things. We have to get out of those mindsets in order to begin to really expand freedom. Because freedom isn't just something that comes overnight. It's something that can happen in degrees as we become more enlightened, as we become more filled with light. Okay, get up out of the darkness. Because as long as we remain in darkness, we remain bound to our primal fears. They're always going to be there, okay? Primal fears will always be there. But we have to learn how to deal with them. We have to learn how to overcome them, okay? We have to learn how to work with them, okay? So that is probably where I think we should stop the show. And, you know, I just wanted to say something before I get off here, is I really want to just say to your soul, all your souls out there, I want to say that may your inner hero spirit rise once more in this beautiful earthly life cycle, because we need all the help that we can get right now. Things are getting way worse, and we need people to stand strong and tall with as much light and a loud voice of wisdom into the airways, into the souls of others who are still trapped in materialism. We need more people on the front lines. So I really hope that your inner hero spirit rises with the sun, and not in materialism, obviously. It's not a good idea, but I really thank you guys for tuning in and listening and making it this far. And if you're interested in any more shows or presentations or news, please go to cubbyhole.com. Also, if you have any questions regarding the topics for these shows, please email me at cubbyhole@mail.com. And also, please email me if you'd like to be on the list for the Cubbyhole news regarding new presentations, major events, or the newest podcast episodes. Okay, everyone, I'm your host, Nate Kapp. Thank you for listening, and keep in mind to do no harm, defend truth, and keep transcending dogma.